last few weeks we've been talking about prayer. Of course, and today I want to continue but not end with this series on prayer with the question that we ask, why should we pray? This is going to be one of two messages through this because there are so many reasons that we should pray. And as I first looked through the scriptures for answers to this question, I was led one place, and no, Virginia did not read the wrong scripture. She read the scripture that was changed, that God had given me as a better scripture for this morning as an answer to this question, why should we pray? Today, as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, it's a great time to remember the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. If you remember in John 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have learned and heard from my Father, I've made known to you." So Jesus was declaring that his followers are no longer slaves, but yet they are friends. And when we look at this in terms of the relationship that he has with his disciples today, and the peace and assurance that that brings us today as disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Christ, his words resonate across the ages that I call you my friends. And this should mean an awful lot to us. If it doesn't already, hopefully it will within the next moments of our communion time together. And this peace and this assurance that we are friends of Christ and friends of God through Christ is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Romans. And in this, we can find simple reasons why we should pray. In the text that Paul was writing in, the context, Paul was writing to the Romans on righteousness. He began all the way back in chapter 3 talking about God's faithfulness, explaining no one is righteous, that righteousness comes only through faith, that Abraham was justified through faith, in other words, he was righteous through faith, and now he says we have a peace and a joy through faith in Jesus Christ because of what that means for us and what that brings us, and that is a right relationship or a friendship with Almighty God. The book of Romans is probably the most influential book throughout history. The writing of Romans and the book of Romans changed the course of history because this was the book that Martin Luther was reading and studying when Martin Luther, a Roman monk, came to the realization and the truth and the understanding that salvation isn't by all the works and all the churchy things we do and all the works of the church by participating in these things, that righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That nothing else other than our faith in Jesus Christ can make us righteous. And he said that knowing this, we should have peace and joy. He says in chapter 5, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly," as Paul says to the Romans. At just the right time. In other words, what he was saying was, when we were still powerless, when we were still sinners, we were unable to save ourselves because we were born sinners. Remember, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born sinners. All right? We're heirs of Adam. We're sinners when we come from the womb. And he's saying at the right time, when we were powerless to save ourselves, which we can't do, we cannot save ourselves. We do not have the knowledge to, nor do we have the power to, until God opens our minds and our hearts and fills us with the prevenient grace of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But yet what Paul is saying, at just the right time, when we were still sinners, still powerless, still unable to save ourselves, Christ died for us. Now I want you to think about that. Christ died for the ungodly. And he goes on to say, well, rarely will anyone die for someone who's righteous. He said, that might happen, but very rarely will somebody die for somebody who's righteous or good. Okay? Though for a good man, somebody just might possibly dare to die. But in other words, what he's saying is, but who's going to die for someone who's a sinner? someone who's unrighteous, someone who's a wicked person, as the Bible describes sinners. But he says at the right time, Christ died for us, and God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, notice what he says. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. But God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, even though very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, Christ is not just anyone. He's special. He is a human manifestation, an incarnation of the love and the grace of Almighty God. That God looked down upon humanity and saw the darkness and the evil, and the Bible describes it as man's heart being only evil all the time. God still looked down on his creation. And in grace, he sent his son Jesus to die. Not because we were good, not because we were upstanding citizens, not because we had big bank accounts and we lived right, but because God was just demonstrating his love at the right time with the right person. He goes on to say that we now have been justified by his blood. We've now been justified by his blood because, you see, that was the concept of the animal sacrifice. A justification is a payment. It justifies what somebody did. And God says that flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. And that something has to die to pay for that sin. And he says, now we've been justified by his blood. In other words, Christ's blood. And since we've been justified, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Christ's sacrifice? What he is saying here in this is that since we were justified, that when we stand before Almighty God and God's judgment is pronounced on humanity one person at a time, you won't be there with your parents, you won't be there with your children, you won't be there with brothers and sisters, you won't be there as a group with your church folks and church friends. You will be there one by one at the throne of God. And he's saying, since we've been justified by Christ's blood, we're going to be saved from God's wrath and judgment through Christ. Because when we were God's enemies, when we were sinners, when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to him. Through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved? If when we were God's enemies, he reconciled us, then how much more, when judgment time comes, is he going to release us and allow us in? Not only this is so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. Christ died, blood was shed, a price was paid. And that was the result of that work on the cross. That debt was paid for you and I. We're justified. And now that we're justified, when we come to that judgment seat of Christ, we shall be saved. We were reconciled, and we shall be saved. When we were sinners, he justified us. When we were enemies, he reconciled us to him. Therefore, we're righteous through faith in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Now, if one fully grips what has been done for them, if we fully grasp that concept, that we cannot do it on our own, we are incapable and unable to do it on our own, but God demonstrated, just simply demonstrating his love, allowed his son to die for you and I on the cross. So that when we stand in judgment day, God says, you have my son's blood on you. Enter into my glory. If we can fully grip what's been done for us, that there will be a judgment day, that we were once God's enemies, but through faith in Christ we can rest assured that we'll be saved from being thrown into fiery pits of hell. And if you grasp all of that, then we have reasons to pray, don't we? We have a lot of reason to pray. But there's two that came to mind as I was thinking about this. First of all, because we're thankful. We're thankful for what God has done. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Now we have peace through God our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith we've been justified, and we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." In verse 8, he says that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We need to be thankful that God did this for us. The second is because we're relational. We're thankful to God, but we're also relational now. We're friends with the King, the one whose is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We're his friend. We can be friends with Almighty God. And if we're friends, shouldn't we be talking to him? How many of you have friendships and you call people friends and you never talk to them? That's not a friend. You say, well, they're there for me in my time of need, and when they're in need, I go to them and help them. Friends talk. They converse. They share together. What kind of relationship is it when people don't converse and talk together? You see, we can talk to God because he's our friend. Because now we're no longer his enemy in Jesus Christ, we're his friend. And we're in right standing. We're reconciled to him. As we come to the communion table this morning, I want you to think about your relationship with God, the Father, and the Creator through Jesus, his Son, because that's what communion's all about. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, hopefully this morning in the right order, I want you to remember that that's the body of our friend. And that's the blood of our friend. Very rarely would anyone die, although maybe somebody might die for a good person. But how many people would die for you and I? Sinners. Enemies of God when we were born in the flesh. But Jesus Christ, at the right time, when God chose, said, "I'm going to demonstrate my love," and he sent his Son Jesus to give up his body and his blood that you and I might stand at the judgment seat of God someday and hear him say, "Welcome home. Welcome home." We have so much to be thankful for in life, but most of all, we have our salvation to be thankful for and our relationship with Almighty God to be thankful for. That we have a God who sees us as friends, who saved us so that we could be in communion and in conversation with him. And I pray that the broken bread and the shed blood of Jesus, our friend, this morning would remind you to pray with thanksgiving for what our friend Jesus did for you and I. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to your table this morning. Sometimes we don't fully remember or grasp what you've done for us. But oh, Father, you've done so much through Jesus Christ. We like to think that we're good. We like to trust that we're good. We like to trust that what we're doing is good and pleasing to you, but only in Christ Jesus are we reconciled to you. And only in Christ Jesus will we stand faultless before your throne of grace when that judgment day comes. And only through the blood of Jesus that reconciled us to you will we live in eternity with you. God, that causes us now to converse with you today and always. As we do in our relationships here on earth, may we converse constantly with you, remembering the great gift through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. Let's join together as we, Christ's disciples today, profess our faith in our triune and holy God in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we begin our time at the Lord's table this morning, let's turn to page 8 in the front of our hymnal and join together.
You made covenant to be our sovereign God, and you spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God, power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes back in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And let us join together as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today we're going to be having communion at the rails up here. If you cannot come up, that's okay. We will come back to you in the pews. When you come, come and kneel. Feel free to pray. Feel free to stay as long as you like. Do not be in a hurry to get back to your pew. We come to the Lord's table again as the Lord's disciples, remembering that relationship that we have with Jesus. And as you eat, remember this is the body of our friend. As you drink, remember our friend's blood is shed for you. I'd like to ask while we have the choir. feast on him as you eat, and remember your friend's body which was given up for you.
we will receive crowns of righteousness. Drink with peace and assurance.
We eat today and remember that Christ's body is a staple item in our lives. We need it every day to sustain us. May you remember that as we eat, but may you remember that Jesus, our friend, is the one who sustains you day by day. May you eat and be nourished.
Dear God, we thank you for this time together of Holy Communion this morning.